Hello, I'm Kirsty Gallagher, and this is Sporting Roots, the audio series where we explore some of Britain's most inspiring sporting locations and the role that rail is played in helping put them on the map. We want to motivate more people to take a trip to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train so they don't miss out on the well-being benefits of experiencing sports in the real world. You can plan your own journey of sporting discovery by train with National Rail today, because when it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. In this episode, we've got courtside seats to a game that's our country's most beloved racket sport. That's right, it's tennis. Racket sports are thousands of years old. We've always loved to watch and play them, and we probably always will. There's something magical about watching a tennis match at a large court. The hush of the crowd before a big point, the lightning speed and athleticism of the players, a puff of line chalk as the ball hits its mark, and then the roar of hundreds of frenzied fans suddenly allowed to release their excitement. The energy is palpable. The modern sport we know as tennis was pioneered in 1859 by Major Harry Jem and Augurio Pereira in Edgbaston, in Pereira's back garden. The game was adapted and codified over the coming years, but the lawn of his house in Birmingham is where it all began. The house still stands, and it sports a blue plaque commemorating the birth of tennis. You can walk there from Five Ways train station in under 20 minutes and check it out. The sport became so popular so quickly, it was only a few years before the world's first official tournament was held. The sport became so popular so quickly that it was only a few years before the world's first official tournament was held. In 1877, at Warple Road in Wimbledon, a five-day men's-only tournament took place. Hosted by the All England Croquet and Lawn Tennis Club, the event was a roaring success and grew into what is known as the world's oldest and most prestigious tennis tournament today, the Wimbledon Championships. By 1922, the competition had grown so large, the grounds had expanded right up to the train line, and the tournament was moved to a larger location on Church Road, where Wimbledon is still held today. The tournament is one of international tennis's big four annual competitions, known as the Grand Slams, and is held up as Britain's shining jewel in its tennis crown. The stadium is just over 20 minutes walk from the station and is an absolute must for hardcore fans and newbies alike. It boasts some of the best men's and women's tennis of the entire season. Whether you're going to sit courtside or watch the action on a giant screen in one of the fan zones, such as Murray's Mount, for 2 weeks in July every year, this sleepy suburb becomes the beating heart of the tennis world. You can visit the complex all year round, as it is also host to the biggest tennis museum on earth. Its unrivaled collection of tennis artifacts and memorabilia covers the modern era of tennis, as well as its centuries of evolution. A variety of historical equipment, tennis kits and trophies are all on show. Some exhibitions are almost 500 years old. Now, we can't mention Wimbledon without touching on our national obsession with British champions. Until the tournament was won in 2013 by Sir Andy Murray, who's apparently a serial train user, by the way, we had to wait over 60 years for a British winner of the men's title. The previous winner was Fred Perry, whose career was the stuff of legend. He was the first person in history to win the career Grand Slam, which is where a player wins all four Grand Slam titles. Perry came from humble beginnings in Stockport in the north of England. The family home in which he was born still stands, and for those of you who are blue plaque spotters, the house on Carrington Road is just under a 30-minute stroll from Stockport mainline station. Now, I've got to admit, I'm a big tennis fan myself. My mum has always been a keen player, and I got the bug pretty early. I've been to Wimbledon a lot, and it doesn't matter how many times I go, I've always been amazed at just how fast the serves are and just how hard the players hit the ball. I can say from experience that just being there lets you actually see how phenomenal these elite competitors really are. It is just breathtaking. Now, it's all well and good us trying to inspire some tennis-focused train adventures, but we thought it might be a good idea to chat to someone who walks the walk as well as talking the talk. We have with us former player and coach, as well as the founder and editor of Tennis Head magazine, Tim Farthing. Hi, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to meet you, Kirsty. Thanks for having me.
Now, you might just be, Tim, our most tailor-made guest ever. You've been a player, a coach, a sports journalist, and you take the train to tennis matches. Can you tell us about how your love affair with the game started?
So it started when I was 4 years old. I would go to my local tennis club with my parents and watch them playing, and that encouraged me to get involved. So I still play tennis all the time myself. My family play. My daughter now plays a lot, so I travel with my daughter to play tennis. But also, as well as playing, I've developed a love for watching the top players, and fortunately had quite a few opportunities to watch them play at different tournaments around the world and in the UK.
You've been to a lot of matches over the years. Are there any standout days that you remember?
I think a couple of specific memories I have from Wimbledon are, firstly, at the most recent Wimbledon, myself and my wife were fortunate enough to get tickets for Court 1. Myself and my wife, actually, we always take the train when we go to Wimbledon because it makes the journey a lot easier, but also it creates this kind of shared enjoyment because everyone else on the train is doing the same thing. So, in fact, you end up having conversations with random strangers on the train about who you're going to go and watch and see. And then also when you get to Wimbledon and you get off the train, you're obviously surrounded by thousands of other people who've got the train to go to Wimbledon. So there's a real buzz around the train station and then walking up to Wimbledon itself. The tennis that day was fantastic. And then the second experience I can remember most is when I was lucky enough to get tickets to the final of Wimbledon, which was the Nadal-Berdych final. And I decided to take my mum with me. My mum's a huge tennis fan, but also a Wimbledon fan and a Nadal fan. And she hadn't seen Nadal play live. So we took the train because it was just so convenient. And also such a nice experience to be able to sit with my mum on the train up to Wimbledon, go and watch the tennis, see Nadal win, and then come back home again.
Now, for those who haven't been, what's it like watching tennis with other supporters, would you say?
Yeah, I think that tennis as a live sport is very enjoyable because you're actually very close to the action. And so I think at other sports, you can't necessarily get as close because the tennis court is actually quite small and the seats are right down. A lot of the seats are right down close to the court, especially at Wimbledon, where they're not huge stadiums. So firstly is to really understand the skill and the power and just the sound of the tennis ball being hit by a professional. The other thing that I really enjoy, because I'm a keen tennis player myself, is the ability to choose what you watch. So on television, most of the time they follow the ball and they follow the whole rally. Whereas when you're live at a tennis match, I normally just watch one player. I don't watch the ball. So I can see what the player does when they're not hitting the ball. I can see their movement after the shot, which for me being a keen tennis player, it really helps my understanding of how good these professionals are at moving on the tennis court.
It's not always easy to get tickets to some of the bigger matches, Tim, which is why fan parks are great for helping you still get that buzz of being at a live sport event and being able to mingle with like-minded people. Are there any sort of non-Grand Slam tournaments that people should check out?
So I really enjoy going to Eastbourne. Eastbourne is a pre-Wimbledon grass court event and it's the most intimate tennis event that you'll find. When you're there, it's not a huge site. There's not a huge stadium court. You're really close to the action. In fact, the players are often wandering around with the spectators as they go from court to court. So you can get really up close.
You still play a bit of tennis yourself, don't you? So how does playing it impact your physical and your mental well-being, would you say?
So I think that for me, coming off a tennis court after I've played, whether I've won or lost, I feel relaxed. And that really helps. I think we've all got busy lives and we're all constantly thinking about loads of stuff, whether it's family, finances, whatever. So when I'm playing tennis, I actually can't think about anything else. I have to concentrate so much on hitting the tennis ball that even though you'd think you'd come off a tennis court and be exhausted, I actually come off feeling more relaxed than when I started.
Yeah, I could use that sort of switch off sometimes. Tim, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's been a pleasure. I hope you get out there and watch some tennis and hit some balls.
Tennis is one of our country's most popular sports. And as Tim said, there are so many physical and mental health benefits to experiencing it for yourself in the real world. Thankfully, there is always investment going into growing participation at all levels of tennis. The Lawn Tennis Association is opening a variety of tennis hubs across Britain with an aim of bringing tennis into less advantaged urban areas. They are also funding the rejuvenation of community and council tennis courts across the country. From Glasgow and Edinburgh all the way down to Brighton and Redruth in Cornwall, funding is being pumped into courts everywhere. This means wherever you are, you can try the game out for yourself. An intercity club that has captured headlines of late is Bromley Tennis Centre in London. Just a 20-minute stroll from Orpington Mainline Station, the centre is a host to many competitions and youth development schemes. A young Emma Raducanu competed in and won one of her first tournaments in Bromley. She's grown to be one of British tennis's most promising stars, winning the US Open Grand Slam when she was just 18 years old. The club is fully inclusive and anyone can book courts or take up tennis lessons, regardless of age or ability. And full tennis isn't the only way to enjoy the sport. A number of variations with different rules have been gaining a following over the last few years, namely pickleball and paddle tennis. Both are played on smaller courts with smaller rackets or paddles. New clubs are being founded all the time due to the sport's faster pace and more sociable setup. A former railway building in Leeds is currently being converted into a brand new paddle tennis facility. The Roundhouse is just a 20-minute walk from Leeds Overground Station and will have 10 courts, giving people in the city even more chance to get involved in racket sports. So get out there, watch it, play it, learn about it. Tennis is an unashamed powerhouse of international sport. Whether you're taking in the culture of a museum, the excitement of a fan park, or the roar of a crowd on match day, you'll know when it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. Visit nationalrail.co.uk/sportingroutes to discover the rest of our audio series and plan your next journey to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train.